Well, thank you for joining with us again today around the Word of God. And today we're in the book of Psalms, the Psalm 119. And we're just reading one section of the Psalm, the section that we want to focus in upon, beginning at the verse 49 of Psalm 119. The Psalm 119 and the verse 49. And here the psalmist says to the Lord, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts." Amen. And we know again, God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let us seek the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to come again today and speak to us even through his word. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks today that we can gather around the word of God. We thank thee, we can ask thee, that thy word might have free course and be glorified. We do thank thee, Lord, that even soon in thy will, many of us will be able to meet again in the house of God. And we pray that we will joy when to the house of God go up, they said to me. But Lord, today, again in our own homes, as we listen on to thy word, we pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts. We do once again today lift up to thee all in need. There are some who have needs in body or in mind. There are those spiritual needs of the soul, and whether it be a need for salvation or restoration or growth in grace, meet each spiritual need, and whatever the bodily need and other circumstances and situations in our lives, we cast our cares upon thee with that assurance that thou dost care for us. Remember those laid aside at home or in hospital, in nursing homes, we commend them to thee. Lord, bless thy work in these days. Build thy church. Prosper thy work. Glorify thy name. Have mercy upon our land and upon our nation. May there be a great spiritual awakening. May there be a reviving among thy people. And we pray that thy great name will truly be magnified and reverenced. Bless us now as we consider thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This Psalm 119 is, of course, the longest of all the Psalms. It is divided into 22 divisions or sections after the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you were reading this Psalm in the Hebrew, and you began at the opening section, which has the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet above it, Aleph, you would discover that the first word in each verse of those first 8 verses in the Hebrew, the first word in each of those verses would begin with that letter Aleph. This is what is known as an alphabetical psalm. It's a psalm which is so designed by God that we might find it easier to memorize, maybe, than some other parts of the scripture. It's interesting too that each of the Hebrew letters, when you look at them, they're a picture of something, and therefore there is that pictorial meaning in each of the letters. The theme, of course, of this psalm is the Word of God. And as you read through the psalm, you will discover that the Word of God is referred to in different ways. As the psalmist addresses God, he refers to thy law, thy statutes, thy testimonies, thy commandments, and so on. And in this psalm, as we come to the little section that we're focusing in upon today, verses 49 to 56, the seventh section or division of the psalm, we find the psalmist referring to himself as thy servant. He's addressing God. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant. What a privilege it is to be saved and to be able to serve the Lord. And every one of us that are saved, that have turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior, we are saved to serve in some manner. Oh, some may be called to serve at the forefront, others in the background. But we can all serve the Lord if we are saved and seek to become like the one who is the greatest servant of God, the Lord Jesus himself. As you go down this section of the psalm, the psalmist does refer to the wicked. Verse 51, he refers to the proud who had him greatly in derision. In verse 53, he refers to the wicked that forsake God's law. Now, while all of this psalm, its main theme is the word of God, in this little section or division between verse 49 and verse 56, we can say the main theme is the comfort which God's word brings to the child of God. And I want us just to think about what God's word brings and produces in our hearts and lives as we see it set before us in this psalm, keeping in mind particularly the comfort that God's word brings, as the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, applies God's word to your hearts. First of all, I want you to note that God's word produces prayer in our hearts. In this section of the psalm in verse 49, what is the psalmist doing? He is praying to the Lord in verse 49. He says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He's praying to the Lord concerning a particular word God had given to him. He hoped or he trusted in that word from the Lord. In other words, he expected the Lord to fulfill that word. And does it not remind us that the word of God, as we read it and hear it preached even as believers, it enables us to pray in faith over the word of God, praying God's word back to him, asking him to fulfill his word. In many places in the word of God, you will find individual believers and they are praying back the word of God to him. You see, John reminds us in 1 John 5 that we know, we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, God hears us. And how do we know what God's will is? If we know he has heard us, we know we have the petitions asked of him. Well, we find God's will revealed to us in the word of God. So we can pray his word back to him. We can pray back the promises of his word. In the book of Daniel, and of course Daniel is known among other things as a man of prayer, but in Daniel chapter 9 we have an example of Daniel taking the word of God that he had read and studied and praying it back to the Lord. Taking up the word of God that had great relevance to his particular circumstances and praying that word back to God. You see, in Daniel chapter 9, in the opening verse, it was the first year of Darius when, as Daniel tells us, he understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem, the captivity, Jerusalem being desolate, 70 years. And Daniel understood as he read that word to Jeremiah so many years before that the years had passed. And what did he do in verse 3? He set his face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He prayed unto the Lord and he prayed over the word of God and prayed back the word of God through Jeremiah. He prayed it back even to the Lord, asking the Lord to fulfill his word, believing the Lord would fulfill his word. And each day when you and I as believers take down the Word of God, we read it and we seek a word from the Lord, we can take that word and we can pray it back to the Lord. I can think of different verses the Lord used to direct me, calling me into the ministry, guiding me from one congregation to another and so on. And I can think of some of those verses that I have prayed back to the Lord. One such verse is found in the book of Exodus, where Moses had asked the Lord, "Show me now thy way." And the Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And I can remember that verse being used by the Lord to direct me to the congregation where I labor at present. And often I've had cause to pray those words back to the Lord. Maybe you're listening and you're not saved. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you hear God's word proclaimed, God's word revealing your sin, God's word revealing your need of salvation, God's word revealing the way of salvation, as you read that word and hear it preached and think upon it, God is able through that to bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus and grant you repentance from your sin. You may read in Luke's gospel of the publican who went into the temple and he prayed, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And that may make you conscious of your sin and bring you to pray such words to the Lord yourself. God's word then produces prayer in our hearts, the prayer of faith. But then in the second place, coming back here to Psalm 119, these verses 49 to 56, we can say God's word brings comfort to the heart. And we've already said this is the main theme of this section, the comfort that God's word brings. You see, as the psalmist in verse 50 prayed to the Lord, and again, he didn't think the Lord was forgetful when he said, "Remember the word." He was simply pleading with the Lord. "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope," or to trust, or to have faith and expectation in. And then in verse 50, he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." There was comfort in his affliction as he meditated upon the word that God had given to him. "For thy word hath quickened me." You know, when he was unconverted, through the word of God and the Spirit applying that word to his heart, he was quickened, he was made alive spiritually, born again. But as a believer, God's word revives our hearts as we think upon it. What comfort that brings. "This is my comfort in my affliction." What was his affliction? No doubt he had many afflictions, but one of those afflictions is found in verse 51. "The proud have had me greatly in derision." The proud have derided me, believing in you and in your word. They have made a mockery of me. "Yet have I not declined from thy law." Oh, that brought comfort to the psalmist. In verse 52, he says, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord." He remembered the judgments recorded in the word of God, even against the wicked. And he says, "I have comforted myself." He took comfort in the fact that those who derided him and mocked him, God would deal with them. God would judge them for their sin. That brought him comfort. You know, the word of God down the years has brought comfort in so many different ways to the people of God. You think of the Apostle Paul, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he spoke of the fact that in his life, as he put it, he was given a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "The messenger of Satan to buffet him." And he said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." On three specific occasions, Paul asked the Lord to take away this affliction, this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul took comfort from that word. And I would suggest that probably every child of God that has ever read these words has taken great comfort from them at one time or another. My grace is sufficient for thee. If you're unsaved, you know, God's word ought to make you tremble when you think of your sin, when you think of that place called hell, where you are headed at this moment, according to the word of God, if you're unsaved and unforgiven and unrepentant. Yet there's comfort in the gospel in knowing that God sent his Son to do what was needed for the salvation of sinners by his sinless life, by his bloodshedding, his sacrificial death, his resurrection again from the dead. If you will call on the Lord for forgiveness and salvation, turning from your sin, the comfort is there is forgiveness. There is spiritual life. There is eternal life offered to you in the gospel. Oh, what a word then is the word of God. Coming back here to Psalm 119 in these verses 49 to 56. We've seen God's word produces prayer in our hearts and lives. The prayer of faith. God's word brings comfort, but in the third place we can say God's word also brings or produces a song in our hearts. Here in this Psalm 119 and the verse 54, despite being greatly derided, despite his afflictions, the psalmist can say to the Lord, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, thinking of the psalms in particular, yes, some of them are entitled that they're a prayer. And they are to be read, studied, meditated upon, prayed over. But they are also to be sung. The singing of the psalms. And in this very psalm, the psalmist is saying to the Lord, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. He was conscious he was but a pilgrim passing through this life onward to eternity. For him, onward to glory as a saved sinner. And God's word, those statutes had been his songs in the house of his pilgrimage, wherever he was in this world. In the book of Exodus, in the chapter 15, you will read of Moses and the children of Israel when God brought them safely through the Red Sea and God dealt with their enemies, the Egyptians, that they sang unto the Lord. And part of that song was this: the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. In the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we read that in heaven they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now, when the Apostle Paul was writing to God's people in some of the New Testament congregations, he had something to say about singing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 19, having exhorted God's people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he exhorted them in Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks there about singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And a book or two later, a letter or two later, in Colossians 3, in the verse 16, there's a similar exhortation, but in Colossians 3 and 16, the apostle says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And that then producing this singing with grace in our hearts. You see, we're to sing to the Lord because of who he is, what he has done, what he continues to do. And we discover in the Word of God who he is, what he has done, what he continues to do. We know also in our own experience. And so God's Word produces that song. It's only when you have turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior that you really have something to sing about. And in glory, we will sing with our fellow believers unto the Lord Jesus, unto the Lamb. There's one final thought here in this little section of Revelation 119. No doubt there are many other thoughts, but as we focus in upon it, yes, as we've said, God's word produces prayer. The psalmist was praying. God's word brings comfort. It brought comfort to the psalmist. God's word produces a song in our hearts. But you know, God's word, as we read it and study it, it develops in us a reverence for his word. Unless we're rebelling against what we read and hear in the word of God. In the verse 53 of this psalm, 119. The psalmist says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Horror hath taken hold upon me. He looked around him. He saw those who were wicked. They had forsaken God's law. And he was filled with horror because he had been brought to reverence God for who God is, what he has done, and therefore to reverence and respect the word of God. And then he looked at people who were forsaking God's law and God's word, and that filled him with horror because of his reverence for God, and because therefore of his realization of the terrible eternity that awaited these people if they continued to forsake the law of God and continued to be rebellious toward a holy God. Later in this psalm, in the verse 136, he said, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Rivers of waters ran down his eyes because people would not keep the law of God. He had a great reverence for God, great reverence for the word of God. And therefore he could also say in this section of Psalm 119, the verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. God's name refers to his character, his person, as it is revealed in the word of God. And the psalmist remembered. He thought upon who God is, even in the night. And he kept God's law. He did desire to please the Lord who had saved him. Verse 56, this I had because I kept thy precepts. You know, many years later, the Lord Jesus would say to his disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we love the Lord, we will reverence him, we will reverence his word, we will seek to walk in obedience to him. Surely then we are reminded, very simply today as God's people, that we need to spend much time in the word of God. You can take this little section of God's word, you can seek to commit it to memory, you can pray over it. You can rejoice in the fact that God's word brings comfort to you in your afflictions. God's word brings you to a place where you can sing unto the Lord. God's word, as you read it and study it and considering who God is as he's revealed in it, will bring a greater reverence for God to your heart. May God bless his word to your hearts today. And if again you're listening and you're not saved, oh, heed the word of God. Turn from your sin. Call on the Lord for salvation. And you will have that new song in your heart today. Even praise unto the Lord. Thank you for listening to the word of God.